So, I'll just stand for my little mihi. Katangi te tauria pango. Katangi te kaka. The awesome cry of the oyster catcher and the awesome cry of the kaka. Katangi hoki aho. Tihei mauri ora. Just as those birds cry out, so I cry out from my heart to you this morning about te tiriti o Waitangi. Now sit down. I'm going to forget my notes and just tell you a bit of a story about me and my journey, because I think that's been a theme. Fascinating to find out that Richard, you're related to Richard Taylor. He was a wonderful missionary. Early missionary, highly, highly regarded and respected by the Māori people that he was came to share the gospel with. So my story is, I grew up in Māngere Bridge, just around the corner from Te Puhi e Marae. I went to school with the Māori kids. when I had a bit of a scrap with one of the Māori kids, that was a mistake. Because at lunchtime I had 20 Māori kids after me. they had all their cousin bros. And because I was in a very individualistic culture, it was me against them. So I learned a lot of things very quickly. But in my church background, evangelical of that time, we were completely ignorant. We knew absolutely nothing about the treaty. It was considered to be completely irrelevant. New Zealand, we thought it was a wonderful country with great race relations. We thought everything was sweet, and we would wish that the Māori people would stop complaining. And we used to complain whenever there was a tangi around the corner. We used to go down to the dairy, and there's no milk and no bread left because they bought all the food up. So, and I picked up those attitudes from my parents. It's just, that's who we are. We are enculturated by our families, by the attitudes, and we just pick them up and we become those sort of people. And my church was like that too. So what changed for me was going teaching. And my practical experience was a place called Te Kaha on the East Coast. Talk about a change. It was like going to another country. It was a phenomenal experience. It completely blew my mind. The assembly that we had, all the kids were there. The principal, Bill Tafai, from that community, from the East Coast community, was talking to the kids. And if you've ever been to Te Kaha, there's the road, there's the school, and then there's the sea. And then you're looking out to White Island. Beautiful, beautiful scenery. Well, while we were standing there, the whole bay was foaming with the kahawai, the kingfish. You know how they round up the kahawai? The whole bay, I've never seen anything like it ever since. The kids, when they saw it, took off. The whole kids, they ran across the main road. And I was standing there thinking, what's the principal going to do? You know, is he going to sort these kids out? They're running across the main road because you only get one car about every 5 hours, so it wasn't exactly dangerous. 10 minutes later, I saw the principal. He was down there on the beach with a fishing rod. The school spent the next hour fishing. And then the whole theme of the day was to learn about the life cycle of the kahawai and the fish. There's only 7 staff in the staff room. And guess what was on for lunch? Was the kahawai being all boiled up. And me being the visitor, and to be very respectful, they offered me the fish heads to suck the brains out first. Well, I said, no thanks. I had no idea what to do. At the end of that experience, the principal took me under his wing. He took me to a tangi for the first time. We sat inside the marae, and there was just this beautiful singing. The Spirit, I just sensed the Spirit of God was present. towards the end of that time, we then had a little wee get-together in the Wharenui, a beautiful Wharenui there. It's got a monument to Narimu, who was the famous Māori warrior from, was it the First World War or the Second World War, who received the Victoria Cross. And we sat inside this beautiful building, all the carvings from all of the ancestors, and we had a little wee meeting. I read a Bible reading, and as I read that little Bible reading, the presence of God came upon this little group. Sort of one of those experiences where the presence of God is so powerful, it happens very rarely, in my life anyway, but everyone knows that God's there, including a lecturer who from Teachers College, he wasn't a Christian. And so people just prayed from the heart, and then the Teachers College lecturer spoke something. He said, "I'm not a believer, but," he said, "I've never been in such a presence like this. There's something very special here. Thank you for what you've shared. Thank you for that Bible reading. I'll never forget this experience." So I came away from that 5 weeks, 6 weeks, with a completely different perspective on our Maori people, on their culture, how God honoured them. God was with them often in their music and their singing, in their culture, in the way that they honour the dead, the way that they call, when they call people onto a marae, they acknowledge the griefs and the pain and the hurt of loss. So there is wonderful richness in Māori culture, which we from our Anglo culture can learn a huge amount from. So that changed me. And from then on, I looked for positive things. I looked at the treaty. I saw the wonderful gift that we have. The treaty is absolutely unique. Do you know it's unique in the world? No other country, other nation has a treaty where the two peoples hold to a treaty, and that binds them together as the foundation of their relationship. No country in history has a treaty like that. For 177 years, that treaty is still held as the foundation of the founding relationship between two peoples, our tangata whenua and the peoples that come afterwards. It's a taonga, it's a treasure. And it's seen as a sacred covenant, a kawanata tapu, a sacred covenant. And our Māori people for 177 years have treated it that way. It's the governors, the government, the premiers, the prime ministers, the people, the Pākehā people and others who are the ones who have not honoured the treaty consistently over that period of time. And so there's been injustice, and at last we're beginning to correct those injustices through our Waitangi Tribunal and through attitudes. So there we are. There's a bit of my story. I just want to finish off now with three little scriptures, because our theme is the words of Jesus. So I've hunted in the Gospels to find out where Jesus talks about the Treaty of Waitangi. And here they are. Actually, I couldn't find any. Oh, you know one. What's your one?
It's I don't know whether you guys remember, but Mick Duncan actually spoke on the treaty, gosh, was it 3, 4, 5 years ago? And I took notes, actually I can't remember, but it's in the Old Testament. It's where, actually I didn't bring it with me, I think it's Joshua. It's where there were two people groups, and one made themselves look like, I think they had travelled from a long distance because they were scared of the Israelites and they wanted to make this covenant agreement. And David later on is wondering why something's happening to his people, and then he finds out from way back a covenant and agreement was made and it was broken. Yeah, so I remember Mick Duncan actually sharing that part of that scripture in relation to the Treaty of Waitangi about, I don't know, 5 years ago or something.
Yes, so that's from the Old Testament, that that a treaty between two peoples is to be honoured. So this is what I found Jesus had to say. These really are principles rather than specific things. But here's the first one, Matthew 5:37. Jesus said this. It's to do with making promises, making vows, making covenants, if you like. He said, say just a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Your word is enough. To strengthen your promise with an emotive vow shows that something is wrong. In other words, you don't intend to keep your promise. He was talking about people going over the top, swearing by heaven, by earth, by their head, as if that's going to make a promise of value. Jesus was saying, when you make a promise, consider it and say, yes, I will do it and carry it out. So, a covenant is to be something that is to be honoured. And then Jesus' second scripture is this. Because we know that the treaty was not honoured by governments, by prime ministers, by laws that were passed in New Zealand. And therefore, there's injustice that has happened in our country. So Matthew 5 said this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And righteousness is doing the right thing that needs to be done. It's personal ethics, but it's also social justice. Righteousness is doing the right thing, the right thing. And so what is the right thing that should be done in because of the injustices, the breaking of the treaty from New Zealand governments, governors, and so on, and those in authority. And the first, last scripture is this, again in Matthew 5. So if you are standing before the altar in the temple offering a sacrifice to God and suddenly remember that a friend has something against you, leave your sacrifice there beside the altar and go and apologize and be reconciled to him or her. And then come and offer your sacrifice to God. I think that applies not just on an individual basis, but between people groups. Our relationship to God means that we need to put things right with people when there is injustice. And so what's our role then as God's people in our present situation here in Aotearoa, New Zealand? And the first one, I think, is our role is to be the conscience of the nation. If there is a covenant that's made, then the people of God need to be the salt and the light that say, hey, this needs to be honoured. It's not been honoured here. And many of God's people have. The evangelical church hasn't been particularly strong in the past. But our heritage comes from William Wilberforce, the evangelical, and the abolition of slavery. That's our heritage. As evangelicals, let's make sure we hold that heritage and pick it up and speak out when we see injustice. And the second one, I think, is to be anger absorbers. You know, on the motorways, those big trucks with flashing lights, they've got those massive great springs and shock absorbers. So that if no one sees them and comes at 100 Ks and smashes into the back, there's these great big springs and shock absorbers that presumably will prevent any injury from happening by absorbing all the energy. I think God calls us to be anger absorbers. Because of the deep sense of grief and of loss of our Māori people from losing land, and much of that was unjust in the way that it happened because the promise was that they would be able to keep their land, then we're going to have to absorb anger because part of the grief is deep anger. And so our Māori brothers and sisters who get into activism are simply expressing that deep sense of grief and loss and anger, throwing things at dignitaries, cutting down pine trees, protesting. All of those kinds of things are an expression, a deep sense of grief and of loss and of anger. What's our role is to understand the reason for that and to absorb that anger, not to react. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. And I think that's what we're called to do, to come into the middle and absorb that anger and to encourage. I think Maori people, what they want is not so much compensation financially, although because it can never be compensated, but to them, the apology is what really matters. It's the saying, sorry, what happened in the past was unjust, we recognise it, and we apologise for that. And so there we are. There's some of the roles that God can call us to. That's my word. That's back to you, Lyndon.
Before I invite you to take a seat, is there any other thought, reflection that you wanted to be able to express to us? We're going to be praying in a moment. But I see Jason.
I'd say thank you very much, Uncle Wahi Beach, Tauranga Moana, Frank, for what you just said there. I know for myself lately, I'm sometimes a bit half and half divided. I have to confess this, because every time I hear a news article about what you mentioned there about Māori's protesting, part of me feels so post office in anger, in the sense, like, part of me is like, oh, for goodness sake, Māori's grow up. We've got to, you know, get on with the Pākehā sooner or later. But the other half is saying, I really value your point, Frank, because also part of me is also hurt about because of what we lost. And I mean, I know from my background, as an example, like not having the chance to learn te reo Māori, for example. I mean, I kind of learned it either through mainstream kura or Manukau Polytech, as it was known back, but I could only learn so much because my whānau didn't know. All I got was, I don't know. But I just want to say thank you, Frank. I think whenever I hear the news article of anything negative about Māori, it's like to really look at it and say, well, hold on a minute, how do I feel in all of this from a Māori perspective? Because I know, and I confess it, and I'm sorry to say it, I don't always agree with you guys as Pākehā sometimes, and I'm very sorry for that, and I'm sad to say it, but I do think the Pākehā culture, even though they might have taught me the practical stuff, but my Māori side was really missing, and I really pray for hope from this day forth that we can all walk in unity with each other. And please, and I'd like to say, like Denise is saying, I am sorry that you guys have to hear every day either a Māori name mentioned when you know, negative stuff, whether they go to, you know, being police stories about Māori and all the rest of it, and, you know, just Māori names mentioned for the wrong reasons. I'm sorry that you guys have to put up with that. I really am sorry, and it saddens me. You think you feel sad? Well, so do I. But I really pray in the name of Jesus that we will walk together and we will stand strong together, but most importantly, Awhi and Aroha Nui, the best that we can. Because we need you, and you need us. God bless you guys.
Yeah, I think for me, the fact of that, you know, we come here on a Sunday and we read a book that was written 2,000 years ago. We talk about Christ who died for us, that has been in the past. You know, the treaty was signed in the past, 177 years ago, but the fact is, just like with our scripture, it still lives and breathes today, and we need to walk with that knowledge. We need to ask questions. We need to, at times, humble ourselves and go to the other culture or whatever it is, and ask for their opinion, so that together we can grow in our knowledge, and we can grow in our journey and our understanding of how do we move forward together as a nation.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank. I love what you had to say. I think what Frank just said is an apology is huge. I mean, sorry, but I just can't stop crying. That's me, though, if anyone knows me. But apologies are a start. It's not an end, though. becoming educated in whatever is our history is important. It does set us free, understanding truth. So, and resourcing. I mean, it does break my heart sometimes when I think of our Baptist churches and I look at how many have significant Māori and how many are being supported. Now, in this church right here, I know there are incredibly generous people right here in our midst. And Dave and I have been part of that generosity. And we were really grateful for you guys, for how you've supported us. But there are also lots of people out there in our Baptist churches that are Māori leaders that need support as well. We've got Brian and Janice that are just down the road that are leaders of the Harvest Baptist Church. I know they probably don't want me to say this, but they struggle. It's hard. You know, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's lots of others. So there are some real practical things, and I know some of you guys already do that for us, but there are some really practical things we can do to help each other. So, yeah. So thank you.
Well, I want to express just incredible gratitude for you once again coming and opening your heart up to us. What I'd love us to do now, guys, I just want to release you. Feel free to go grab a seat wherever you are, wherever you need to. Jason is going to take Marcy, which is fantastic. Cheers, guys. What I'd love you to do is just to take some time. We've got time. We've allowed for this. Let's spend some time in groups of 5, 6 and have a short conversation, but let's have some significant time in prayer. Let's pray for our Māori brothers and sisters, but let's also let's seek the Lord and ask him what he's asking of us. Lord Jesus, would you continue that transformation that you've begun in us? So let's spend that time now doing that. Eh?